Right center field, deep. Back goes Brown. It's gone for number 44. Salvador Perez is unstoppable.
He is right now. Salvador Perez's 44th homer last night, but the Royals were not unstoppable. They lose 12-10 to the A's. Royals now 66-79 on the season. Royals scored 5 runs in the final 3 innings to close a 7-run deficit into a 2-run gap, but the offense ran out of outs in that loss, and the Royals lost despite scoring 10 runs or more for just the 20th time in franchise history, the first time since 2013, snapping a 63-game win streak when scoring at least 10 runs. They had a chance to keep that streak alive with the bases loaded, 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth at home, and a number 3 hitter coming to the plate, which would normally be Salvador Perez, but manager Mike Matheny had pulled Perez and Whit Merrifield in the top of the eighth when the Royals are down by 6. Instead, Ryan O'Hearn grounded out to end the ball game. On the day, he made his 1,000th career start behind the plate. Salvi wore number 21 in honor of Roberto Clemente, and he's up for the Roberto Clemente Award. Perez hammered his 44th homer of the year, a 413-foot shot to right center field in the fifth, an opposite field shot, and it brought him into a tie for second place on the Major League Baseball home run leaderboard, 4 shy of tying the Royals' single-season home run record set by Jorge Soler in 2019 when he had 48. Salvi has 17 games to get 4 homers to tie it and 5 to break the team record. He also inched closer to the American League National League single-season record for home runs by a player who played at least half their games behind the plate, now just 1 off the pace of Johnny Bench, who had 45 homers with the Reds in 1970, 38 of those 45 when he was catcher. Salvi, 30 of his 44 have come at catcher. And Andrew Benintendi continues at the ball, 5 for 5 with 5 singles, his 3rd 5-hit game of his career. Today, the Royals this afternoon at 1:10 will round out the series with the A's. Daniel Lynch on the hill. He is 4-4, ERA of 5.37. Mike Matheny liked his team's effort despite falling by 2.
Same thing that we've come to expect with this group. They just stay in the fight. Just don't give anything, don't give in, don't give anything away. You know, unfortunately, we still kind of kept giving up some from the pitching side, but the offense continued to not give in. And taking some big at-bats, especially the lefty on lefty, and watching the walks, and then taking advantage of being smart and not being too aggressive and controlling the strike zone and that pressure that we talk about. It's exactly what they did.
Carlos Hernandez, who'd been pitching very well for the Royals, he got the start yesterday as Mike Minor went to the disabled list, or injured list as they call it now. Hernandez 6-2 now on the season, went just 4 innings, 9 hits, 7 runs, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts, allowed a homer. Kyle Zimmer gave up 4 runs in just a third of work later in the ballgame as the Royals allow 18 hits. And the Royals had 17 of their own, but the Royals lose 12-10. And they had to make some roster moves. Mike Minor placed on the injured list with left shoulder impingement syndrome. Scott Blewett was recalled from AAA Omaha. And Wade Davis placed on the injured list with right shoulder inflammation. So that's an update on the Royals and what took place yesterday for the boys in blue as they will conclude their season in a few weeks. Right now, a record of 66-79. Local sports, we've got Athlete of the Week.
Yes, Thunder Ridge junior Dylan Bice has been named the NCCSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. He's had an outstanding start in the first 2 weeks of the high school football season, helping Thunder Ridge to a 2-0 start to the season in the Longhorns 62-14 win over Pike Valley this Friday night. This past Friday night, Bice had 11 of 13 passing, 149 yards, 3 touchdowns, added 8 carries for 106 yards and 3 more scores, 7 tackles on defense as well. That performance came on the heels of another great outing in the 70-12 season opening win over Stockton on September 3rd. Bice went a perfect 9-for-9 passing, 256 yards, and a touchdown, and added 3 rushing touchdowns as well in that game. So far this season, Bice has thrown 405 yards, 20 of 22 passing, that's 91%, with 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, 195 yards on 15 carries, and 6 rushing touchdowns as well, 13 total tackles on defense through the first 2 weeks of the season. A great start for Dylan Bice, our NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. We need your help finding the Athlete of the Week. For more information, you can always visit NCKSSports.com. We'll announce the winners each week, and you can nominate an athlete from any school sport. So there's our Athlete of the Week for this week. Also coming up today, we have some high school activity, high school cross country for area teams. Beloit and Concordia competing at the Clay Center Invitational. That's at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Also at 4:30 this afternoon, the Smith Center Cross Country Invitational. St. John's, Lakeside, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge athletes will be competing from the area. And then the Bennington Invitational this afternoon starts at 3:45. Lincoln and Southern Cloud are competing there from North Central Kansas. Also in girls tennis, Osborne is at Hayes today in a duel at 3 o'clock this afternoon as well. So that's a look at what the local schedule is for today. Again, always the latest schedule can be found at ncksports.com. And we also remind everybody that the high school football locker room chat is coming up tonight here on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. This evening around 5:10 to 5:15, we'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. So those will be this evening again on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. If you missed our locker room chats from Wednesday night, they're posted on our locker room chat podcast at katycountry94.com as well. So don't miss locker room chats here this evening.
All right, want to go over our schedule for tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow night we'll get things started with the Football Express at 5:40, presented by Cunningham Telephone and Cable. Then we have high school football pregame coverage beginning at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock. The Beloit Trojans taking on Concordia in Concordia, as that is our game of the week on Katy Country 94 and also online video stream at Beloit Trojan Channel, ncksports.com. And then on Z96.3 Through the Lake, the big showdown in 8-man Division II District 4, Osborne at Lakeside. Pre-game 6:30, kickoff 7 o'clock, also online at katycountry94.com. And then we will conclude our game night coverage with the local high school football scoreboard show at 10:05, presented by State Farm Insurance in Beloit and Osborne. So looking forward to week 3 of the high school football season tomorrow night.
You know, social media, a lot of negatives about it. There are a few positives. Like, for instance, I went to Facebook to post the Athlete of the Week, shared on my page, and there's a picture of my oldest son who would have been 3.5, and my middle son who was a baby, and he's holding my middle son, my oldest, holding my little son on a couch that we don't have anymore 12 years ago. It's like,
yeah,
wow, that was 12 years ago?
Memories pop up, and it's like, what, how could it be that long ago?
You know, the memories are cool, but they make you feel really old.
They absolutely do.
So there's pros and cons with everything, I suppose. Let's talk about the big thing that happened yesterday when it regards high school sports. Yesterday, Acacia Board of Directors meeting, six-player football, they call it six-player, I'll call it six-man, I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
Six-man football will now compete for an official Acacia State Championship. Indication is there will be at least 24 teams or more set to play in that division starting next year, and this goes into effect for next year. The vote passed unanimously, 68-0. As part of the vote, an amendment was added to preserve the current classifications in 11-man football. Class 3A and 2A will now contain 40 teams each, which is down from the current 48. The remaining schools will be Class 1A, basically split total number in 3, 2, 1A into thirds. Class 1A has had only 28 teams the past two seasons, and this year 27 teams, as Northeast Arma unable to field a team. And the bottom eight schools in 3A this year that would drop to 2A next year based on the current numbers would be Cheney, Goodland, Riley County, Russell, Council Grove, Sabetha, southeast of Saline, that one stands out, and Halstead. So based on everything, the way it's set up now, going into next year, if you just took the bottom eight from 3A and move them to 2A, and the bottom eight from 2A and move them to 1A, and then, of course, the eight-man can stay where they are with the teams that do that, and then if six-man has 24 teams, which it sounds like they probably will, they'll have a fully sanctioned football playoff for six-man.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I think if you wanted to keep those classifications, you needed to do this because you're going to run out of, 1A is not going to be able to be by themselves. That's clearly the purpose of moving those teams down from and making it 40 instead of 48 in each of those classes. So, you'd actually move the bottom 16 from 1A in that, or 2A, excuse me, into that area to move them down to 1A. So that would make it even out and everything like that. So, it's interesting, I think, and I feel like it's probably the right move if you want to keep the classifications. I don't know that they needed to do it, to be completely honest, to keep 1A alive.
I agree.
I think they could have just kept it at 48 and then had 2-1A, kind of like they used to do.
I agree.
That's kind of my thought on it and feeling on it, but I don't know. If they want to have more opportunities, this is what it does. But, again, just like it does, and 1A splitting it into two divisions, I feel like it kind of waters it down, but more opportunities, I guess, to make the playoffs if you're in 3A and 2A as well with less teams. So the six-man thing we saw coming, so that's not anything surprising there. I think a lot of people were leaning toward we're probably going to have quite a few more six-man teams, and eventually it will be Acacia-sanctioned classifications. So,
right.
But the other part of it, I don't know. I feel like they could have just done 2-1A and called it good, but that's me.
The bottom 16 of 2A would be pushed down to 1A. Jayhawk Lynn, Phillipsburg would go to 1A. Mm-hmm. Riverside, Belle Plaine, Syracuse, Garden Plain would be 1A. Ellis would be 1A. Southeast Cherokee, Republic County would move to 1A. Pittsburgh Colgan would go to 1A. Are you kidding me? Sterling, McLouth, Mission Valley, Hutch, Trinity, Blue Stem, and Marion. Here's what I feel. I think it's great that they'll have six-man football and that it'll be a sanctioned event. Shilin won it last year, and people are like, well, yeah, but it's not sanctioned by Acacia. Did you really win? You only had 15 teams, so forth and so on. I'm okay with 24. If that allows schools to be able to have football teams without having to consolidate or merge or not have a football team, I'm okay with that part. But I'm with you. I don't know why we're trying to save 1A so badly, because some of these 1As are going to end up playing 8-man eventually anyway, because numbers are getting low there. So to me, it just make it 2-1A together. I mean, you can't tell me Smith Center can't compete with 2A schools. They have in the past. Mm-hmm. Now, not all can, but that's there. You always have exceptions in every classification. Yeah. Do you think it's really fair that teams like Southeast have to play Andale? Southeast Saline plays Andale. Do you think it's fair Bishop Miege in 4A and the bottom 4As got to play against Bishop Miege and McPherson of the world? And you think, is it really that? You think teams at the bottom of 3A can really compete against Andale? So if that's your argument is, well, 1A, we're smaller, so, it's good for us to stay where we are. Used to be 2-1A together. And guess what? We had some great battles, man. You had Centralia and Colgan and Smith Center. Whether they were 2 or 1A at the time, it didn't matter. It classified it as 2-1A. A lot of these schools used to be 3A schools. Now they're all the way down to 1A. I mean, look at Phillipsburg. How about Russell? Used to be 4. They'd be 2A. And my problem with this is that we have watered it down too much. I don't think we need this many classifications. I think 6A is fine, 5A is fine, 4A, once again, I don't like Miege and McPherson being 4A, especially Miege. 3A, I think Andale should be 4A, not 3A. And Mandale couldn't win a state title in 4A, because why? Because of other bigger schools, and then they go 3A and they dominate, which is fine. But
it's Andale's and McPherson's of the world, that's their enrollment. They don't really cap that, and they can't fix that.
Well, you can fix enrollment.
But it's not as easy.
You can recruit, you cannot recruit, private schools do that.
It's not as easy as what I'm saying is for a Bishop Miege to go ahead and do that, to cap enrollment and not allow people into their school. They can't say, no, you can't come here, is basically what I'm saying.
Actually, you can. Omaha schools did it last year.
Well, I don't know that you can in Kansas. I don't think you can tell somebody that's in your district you can't come to this school.
Maybe in your district.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe in your district.
In your district.
But I can tell you that there are kids that are going to, I mean, we see it even in our situation. We have kids that Glenn Elder could go to Lakeside or go to Beloit.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that part of it.
Yeah, right. Sure. But what I'm saying is you can live from 15 miles. You could be closer to another school and go to another school, okay? And you can do that, or your mom or dad works at the school, so you can go to the school and so forth and so on. Those lines aren't nearly as clear as they were when you and I were growing up.
Well, no, they're not.
They're not. And no. So well, what do you think you saw last year with COVID-19? Stuff, yeah. Last year with COVID-19, you had kids that wanted to play. Kansas City schools, Omaha schools weren't having sports. And so what were kids doing? They were trying to transfer, go to another school, and they didn't have enough school rooms. In Omaha, they had to say, sorry, or not necessarily in Omaha, but on the suburbs. They said, sorry, we can't take any more kids, all right? Mm-hmm. We're full. We only got so many staff, we have many students we can take, so forth and so on. So there's a cutoff in some situations, and I know COVID-19 is a little bit different. But my point of the argument is that if you come back with, well, oh, come on, 1A, we can't compete with 2A, the difference between the top of 2A to the bottom of 1A isn't nearly as drastic as the bottom of 4A to the top of 4A or the bottom of 3A to the top of 3A. It's closer. So to me, and I know for our backyard, Smith Center can compete. We know that.
For sure, yeah.
That's the biggest one I think of. You don't think Phillipsburg can compete and stay 2A? Phillipsburg doesn't need to go to 1A. But they according to this proposal, they will. I mean, for crying out loud, these schools that we're talking about going from 2A to 1A, I'm going to tell you right now, Phillipsburg doesn't need to go to 1A. Okay, they can compete 2A. If you put this into a 2-1A combination like they used to have, Phillipsburg would be very competitive. Riverside would be competitive. Garden Plain definitely be competitive. Republic County would be competitive. They're playing 2A now. I mean, and they're fine. They made the playoffs last year, for crying out loud. Hutch Trinity, definitely. Pittsburgh Colgan. I mean, are you kidding me? Colgan and Smith Center and Conway Springs and Garden Plain would be all 1As? I mean, those teams can all compete for 2A titles. Give me a break.
Yeah.
And so I know it's based on enrollment, but my point in the story and what I don't like is we got way too many classifications. The state of Kansas has more classifications than the state of Texas. Let that sink in for a second. Like, everybody gets a freaking trophy. It's like we got, we got 28. Now we're going to have 27, or we have 24, or we're gonna change all of this to have 24 six-man football. Okay, fine. 24 teams, six-man football. I'm cool with that. But then to adjust everything, we're going to make it to where we have 40 in each class. So you're sitting here going, well, we strengthen 1A by having more teams in 1A, but then we are watering down 3 and 2A to appease 1A? How about just combine 2 1A like it used to be?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a big problem. Why is there a gigantic problem with that? That's the frustration I have. I feel like we're just watering this down even more. Like, I am totally cool with schools that are low on numbers to have six-man football so they can play football. And six-man football is very exciting. And the quarterback can't, if you don't know, they can't run. The quarterback can't run the ball unless it goes to the running back and they toss it back to the quarterback. It's kind of like what we're doing in flag football right now, 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. So I understand how exciting it can be. Okay, six-man football could be a lot of fun. But I just don't like the watering down of it. I don't like sliding a whole bunch of teams from 2A to 1A, and then teams like Southeast of Saline, who could easily compete in 3A or go to 2A. Either way, they can be competitive. I just don't like all the sliding to make it to where there's even less teams. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to throw this out here. I am not a big fan of the fact that I look in 2A, which is watered down as it is. I don't like looking at 2A and going, there's 2A, who the heck out of the West is going to compete? Mm-hmm. Like, in 2A, Beloit is probably the best. They might be the best team in 2A right now on the West side. Maybe. Mm-hmm. They might not be. It might be Garden Plain. I don't know. But there used to be a whole bunch of them. Like, it was Beloit. You had Beloit, Scott City, Conway Springs, Garden Plain. I mean, those are big-time, programs. Beloit's a good program, obviously. They all fit together, right? They have all rich traditions. Mm-hmm. And they all could fight it out to try to get to the state championship game from the West. I mean, that was great football. You know, the Beloit team in 2012 that lost the sub-state finals to Scott City, I think, might have been better than the team in 13 that made it to the state title game, because in 13, Scott City wasn't as good. Beloit was really, really good. Don't get me wrong. They were good both years. But the point being, it was difficult to get to the state title game, all right? Mm-hmm. You really, truly, I mean, absolutely earned it. Now, what's happening is, I feel like, okay, we got less teams in the classification, so clearly it's not as hard. If you just do the math, it's not as hard. And then you get to the situation, you got 2A or 1A or 8-man or whatever it might be. You pick your classification, and it's not as hard to make a run in the playoffs as it once was. Now, Beloit fans could say, we love this because now we got a much better chance. We don't have to face a Conway Springs like we used to that always blocked us. We don't have to face a Garden Plain, although they could this year. We don't have to face Scott City. They're 3A. We don't have to worry about them right now. So it's an easier path to a state title game. I get all that. But I'll use that same argument to be consistent for myself, is that I don't like 8-man Division 1 and 2 split up to where we water it down at state basketball tournaments. Mm. Because I know that there are some small Division IIs that can't compete with the top Division Ones, but that occurs in every classification. Like, where do you draw the line? I guess that's my question. Where do you draw the line into, that's not enough? Apparently, drawing the line is, we're okay with 40 in 3A and 40 in 2A, and I think you can just eliminate one. You don't have to eliminate. You merge 2 and 1A, and it's not like we've never done it before. We haven't had 1A by itself that long.
No.
Why can't we just – why do we have more classifications than the state of Texas? I don't get that.
I can't explain.
Because everybody wants a better chance at winning a championship. Well, you know what? I want a better chance to win $1 million. Why aren't my lottery odds better?
Yeah.
I mean, get used to it for life. I mean, you have an opportunity to win a state title – no matter what classification you are assigned to, okay, based on your enrollment. So if there's 40 teams or 64 teams, you still have a chance to compete and win a title. Yes, is it? Obviously, if you eliminate and get rid of some of the good programs that keep dropping to another class or you drop to lower class, it's going to get easier. Now, some years you might be on the wrong side of the bracket and it's really tough, but there's no question when you cut it down to less teams in any division or classification, you're making it easier.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Listen to the issue.
Even though it helps and improves chances for even teams in our area, I still don't like that. As a football fan, I don't like that.
Yeah. The issue with classification in football in this state starts at the top because they won't do any more than 32.
That is part of
the first three classes.
Yes.
And that's so now you have all these schools that you got to figure out what to do with on the bottom.
Yes.
If you didn't have only 32 in 4A, right?
Right.
You could clearly have a little bit more leeway there to make sure that we don't need this 6th, 11-man class.
Right.
1A is not even a thing anymore if you didn't cap 4A at 32.
But if you're 3A, the top eight teams in 3A, then it suddenly have to be a Bishop Miege in 4A?
That's what it used to be, right?
Right.
Because 4A used to be,
right.
Well, there's no question.
We know Miege can go up to 5A and compete.
Yeah. But that's where right. they won't ever make it bigger than 32 in 6 and 5A.
Right.
So Miege is, they can easily cap that enrollment and be 4A
exactly.
and stay 4A. St. James is the same.
Right.
You know, they won a state title last year. And so, I mean, Miege plays all 5 and 6A teams except for St. James basically on their schedule.
Right.
Because there's no districts in 4A anymore, so they just play their league teams.
Well, Miege plays Miege a lot of Missouri teams.
They end up with a lot of losses against 5A and 6A schools. They're always in contention and at the end of that thing in 4A. So I think that's the biggest problem is you cap 32 on 6, 5, and 4A, and then you have all these teams left over that now you need to figure out what to do with when teams start dropping off a 1A to go play 8-man. Now you're left with a watered-down class here, but you don't want to, like, completely get rid of it because there's not enough teams here or here. We can make this to where it's only 40 here, and it's like, figure it out. But they don't ever want to do anything to upset the structure at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
the issue with our state with classification, no matter how that gets distributed. It doesn't matter. The issue is our state doesn't want to ruffle the feathers at the top. And that's the problem.
Well, I'll give you an
example. We're talking about all this. So then you end up with more classifications because you have less numbers up top.
I'll give you an example because, I don't know which one this is. See, Keisha doesn't make it very clear on the website. But I'm just looking here. We got 6A, 37 member schools, 5A, 36 member schools, 4A, 36 member schools, 3A, 64, 2A, 64, 1A is 118. But see, that's just total.
That's your regular classification.
That's the regular classification. Yeah. So I'm trying to find the actual, football classifications, which they don't have it broken down. Yes, they do. Okay, here we go. So there we go. So what you're talking about is if you could take, basically you're saying, let's just say 6A, go to 40 and 6A and 40 and 5A. You with me? So that means that Liberal, Hutchinson, Wichita Heights, Shawnee Mission Valley, or Mill Valley, Leavenworth, Wichita Northwest, Emporia, and KC Turner. Those eight would go to 6A. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that would put 40 and 6A. To have 40 then into 5A, you'd have to take the next 16. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So the next 16 would be Lansing, Great Bend, St. James, Bonner Springs, Ark City, Andover Central, Baser Linwood, McPherson, Casey Piper, Ottawa, Bueller, Bishop Miege, Augusta, Winfield, Tonganoxie, I think, and maybe Independence. I lost track how many. So those would then go into the 5A, and then you would obviously adjust everything to where you would have your top 4A would then, instead of having almost 700 students, your top 4A would have about 450 students, and then you pull another 16 or whatever it is from 3A. Which with it obviously would probably bring in like a Hugoton. Okay, so the difference in enrollment if you do this, all right, like we are talking about, you make it bigger for each of these classifications to change it from the top end, your enrollment would range from about 1854 for Wichita East to about 900 for KC Turner. So that's twice the enrollment.
That's the fight for the upper classes.
That's the fight for the upper classes, right?
Yeah.
They say double. Okay, if you go and change it like we were talking about, 5A and your bottom 4As would be double as well, 800 to 400 roughly. And if you go for your top 4As to your bottom 3A, or I'd be your top to bottom in 4A, the way we adjust it, that would go from about 490 to 215, which is about double. So the bottom line is we're talking double no matter what in a lot of this, but yet it apparently, because the numbers are bigger in the bigger classifications, we can't have double the enrollment school going up against a school with half the enrollment, but yet you don't seem to care in some of the other classifications. So you're right. It's about protecting the big boys. And we always reshuffle the lower part of the deck, and that's what we're doing again.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm okay with the six-man football. I'm cool with that, but I don't like watering it down. I think it's already watered down enough as it is with 48. Now we're going to go to 40? I don't like it.
No.
I know you don't either. All right, something else people don't like are injuries. The Dallas Cowboys have all kinds of injuries. They become the Baltimore Ravens junior. How about this? Their best defensive player was hurt last year, DeMarcus Lawrence. He's out now, broken foot in practice yesterday. The other best defensive pass rushing in is, what's his name, Randy Gregory. He's on the COVID list. He probably won't play. Cowboys got to go to the L.A. Chargers. The Chargers are really good. They got a really good defense. And the Cowboys are missing the right tackle now. He's out with a substance abuse suspension for 5 games. So they lost their right tackle, lost their best 2 defensive players going this game. They lost their receiver to an injury. Yeah, and the Cowboys are going to start 0-2 when they lose to the Chargers, and everybody's going to be all over ESPN and all the national media is going to go, what's wrong with America's team? What's wrong with the Cowboys? Well, it's simple. They're not that good. You know, they're good enough to compete, but then they're going to have an excuse of injuries, but that won't be allowed. And then, and what's wrong with the Cowboys? Like, well, I don't know. Even if they're fully healthy, losing to the Buccaneers and the L.A. Chargers is not something to really get hang your head about. Those teams are both really good. I think the Chargers can push the Chiefs in the AFC West. But that'll be the freak-out, knee-jerk reaction when the Cowboys lose to the Chargers. And I will cheer for the Cowboys to win, and I will be disappointed again, and the Chargers will win this weekend more than likely. Cowboys can use the excuse they have injuries. That's true. Chargers have had them in the past, too. But more injuries for the Cowboys. And in NBA, first, Milwaukee Bucks have named Lisa Byington as the team's TV play-by-play announcer for games on Bally Sports Wisconsin. What's the big deal, you may say? In joining the Bucks, Byington becomes the first female full-time TV play-by-play announcer for a major men's professional sports team and just happens to be the reigning NBA champion. So congratulations to her. There are some great female broadcasters in the business that do a wonderful job, and she is definitely one of them, so that's pretty doggone cool. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, is on the way. Oh, by the way, Thursday night football tonight, Giants at Washington football team at 7:20 on NFL Network.